It's Mary
and Jenny,
and we came into our identities in our 30s.
This is Queerly,
where we do life in community. Hello, hello.
All right, welcome back.
This is so exciting. I actually kind of look forward to these moments where we sort of are like being vulnerable, but then having conversations and getting to know each other better. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I love it.
And then posting our conversation for the world to hear. How crazy
is that? Right now, we feel comfortable because it's just us two talking.
Right.
But once we start posting, we're going to be like, oh. But no, all good things, all good things. So good to be back. We always start off with
our joys.
So what is your joy for the week, Mary?
My joy for this week. So for those of you that do not know, I have a small, a little craft that I do outside of my job. I make custom hoodies and t-shirts. I have like my own brand. You might wanna check it out at wvgear.com, and we'll put this in the notes at the bottom of the podcast so you can check it out. But anyway, I did get a custom request from a work colleague, and they wanted like about 19 t-shirts for their family reunion, and that brought me so much joy because here is someone at my workplace that's recognizing that this little craft of mine brings me a lot of joy, and they went ahead to support me, and that is so precious to me. Like, to have someone want to support something I do, woohoo, what's more precious than joy?
Than that.
So it brought me so much joy. Yeah.
Oh, that's a really good joy.
So Jenny, what was yours?
My joy for the week is I'm excited. At work, I'm on the DEI Council, Diversity, Equity, Inclusion. And every month we try to do something that we put together called Seat at the Table.
Nice.
So we wanted to do something for Pride Month, and I'll be facilitating that. So really excited. I think I was just like volunteering right away. Like, I want to facilitate this conversation because I just felt so comfortable like learning from queer folks and just being able to share this conversation at a workplace, I think is very important to me. And it's something that the council started because we are the first council they've ever had.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So impressive.
We came up with the Seat at the Table from inspiration from, you know, other like roundtable discussions that we had. But it's been really cool. And I'm excited for this because it's all Pride Month. So
that's actually such a good thing. I don't think there's a better person than you to facilitate that conversation.
Oh,
from what I know about you and the fact that you're part of Queerly, I think you're just the right person to, and I'm glad that you're the right person to lead the conversation, and I'm glad that that brings you so much joy.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting? I know we've been, you know, we talk a lot about coming into our identities and like how identity is ever evolving. Mm-hmm. We talk about that a lot. And in that, there's always also new terms to learn. Like,
always.
Every single time in the queer community, I like hear a word, and sometimes I don't want to sound like I don't know. So I never ask, what does that mean? I quickly pull out my phone and try to figure out what
I'll
it means.
I'll just Google it really quickly.
Yeah, and there's always a new word. And one of the words we want to explore today is baby gay. But because this is Queerly, we're gonna refer to it as baby queer. So anyway, coming into our identity, I think there's all this multitude of questions that flood our minds, because usually it's an internal process. Like, coming into your identity is an internal process, because sometimes this is what society is saying that you should be. Mm-hmm. This is what society is instructing you to be. This is what society is socializing you to be. But then there's this internal monologue, or there's this internal experience that you're having that sometimes is not what the society is asking you to be. And so I think that's the process that they usually refer to as coming out, because then you're like, this dissonance between what society is saying and what I need to be. But anyway, Jenny and I, we've gone through this process of coming into our identity and all these different terms that we've had to learn and different experiences we've actually shared together.
Yeah.
Like, you know, attending pride events and all that. But yo, being a baby queer, bro, you do not know anything.
You know anything.
Yeah.
We're a little bit older.
Right.
You know, coming into ourselves. But we had a lot of questions.
We did. So. And many times we were actually afraid. Yeah. At least I was afraid of asking these questions out loud. Like, I remember the question that plagued me so much. How do you have sex with a woman? I was like, how? Like,
we're going
how?
There right
You're like,
away.
How do you have sex with a woman? Because, I mean, of course, it's you know, it is sexual orientation. So with sexual orientation, some people get attracted to women. Others get attracted to trans you know, there's all these pansexual things. Others get attracted to men, others to both, others to all the binaries, non-binary. There's like a whole thing in there. But I do remember being like, for me, my question that I was afraid to ask was, how do you have sex with a woman? And I'm telling you, I was so scared. I was even so scared that that people wouldn't want to date me because I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember calling up, and I think I've talked about this before, calling up my friend in Uganda. And so we would like have different conversations. And I do remember her telling me that, like, do not worry about that. You eventually figure it out. Mm. And like coming into my process, coming into my identity and working through this process, it is not something that I think about a lot now, I think, because, you know, I've listened to other people's experiences, but I also know that everybody is different. Like, what you did with your previous partner will probably not work with your new partner.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to learn again. So even if I don't have that much experience, I do know that when the time comes, I'm going to figure out who my partner is.
Yeah.
Did you have that same question? Did that same question ever give you a headache?
For sure. I don't know if it gave me a headache but it did give me a lot of maybe anxiety a little bit thinking about it because I'm just like, well, I haven't been intimate with a woman yet. Mm-hmm. So what am I going to do to figure out how to do that?
Mm-hmm.
But I would watch so much YouTube.
Right.
Like, really? I watched so much YouTube about people talking about it. I'm not sure if I Googled it, but I'm pretty sure I did.
I did too.
Yeah, just to like figure out. But then also I had other questions too. Like, how do I even reach out? Like for me, it's like, how do I even date? First of all, I don't really like dating. I don't really know how to like date. So for me, I think I was just like, should I be reaching out if I want to get to know someone, or am I waiting for them? But that's just like my mind still thinking in this like very patriarchal, heteronormative like mindset.
Right.
Where I'm like, no, but I want to reach out, so maybe I should do that. But yeah, I think for me, yeah, asking all of those things, like, how is it, what am I supposed to do with my hands?
Right.
What do I just do, really? So yeah, like, in a very similar boat than you, I had a lot of the same questions.
Right.
But it was kind of nice that we were in the pandemic because I didn't have to ask people.
Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. The podcast.
I think, like, the comfort of just being in your own home for me made it more comfortable that I don't have to like talk to anyone. During this time of me coming into myself, I just stayed in, learned about all of these things, watched so much content, asked Google so many questions,
right,
all to myself without like having to like face the world.
right. Yeah, that's I think I had a question similar to that as well. Which was, how do I let a woman know that I'm interested?
Yeah.
Because before, in heteronormative relationships, I never used to do much work.
Yeah.
So, because the guy is going to ask you, he's going to call you, he's going to text you, if I'm out somewhere, I'm not looking out for any guys. I'm just out to have a good time. And so then it's a guy who's approaching me. So that question, I was like, how? Like, what do I do? I've not seen anyone ever in my presence like ask a woman out. So I didn't even know. I say the same things that guys used to say to me? But some of those things are so cheesy. So it was, honestly, it was a question that I think up to now, I don't think I have enough experience to even say, okay, this is what I've learned along the way of coming, mm-hmm. of coming into my identity, because our process happened a lot just before the lockdown and a lot of it during the global lockdown pandemic. And so my opportunities to sort of like be in places where I'm looking to let other women know that I like women was on apps. So I joined the Her app, I joined the Hinge app, I joined, is it Tayami or whatever that pronunciation is? Mm-hmm. What other app did? Yeah, those I think are the three apps that I really joined. And even on those apps, I wasn't doing much but swiping left and right.
Yeah.
Until someone would say like, hi. And then I would like... talk to them. But I think in the 2 years that I've been out, I have asked one girl for her number. So I think if you're having a great conversation with someone, I think one way of letting them know is asking for their number.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I just asked for her number.
Yeah, and I think that's I think that's pretty straightforward. The other thing I would say is, okay, generally I'm a flirt, but I think flirting flirting works, although sometimes it will tell the other person that you're interested but not how serious you are. Mm-hmm. So flirting does work. Does flirt, do you ever flirt with people? Oh no, you're in a
do
relationship, of course not. But before you got into the relationship, did you flirt?
Well, okay, for me, like, so my current partner, I asked her for her number.
Okay,
but she thought I was networking.
Oh. So that number actually works.
No, we have a whole story too. But like in the beginning, I was trying to get to know her. Mm-hmm. And I normally don't do this, but she doesn't know that I don't normally do this.
You know, right.
Or like ask for a number or mm-hmm. ask her questions. Mm-hmm. And at the time, we were just texting. So I don't think she thought anything of it. Mm-hmm. But for me, it meant a lot to me. Like it took a lot for me to do that because I have not done that really.
Right.
So then I think when we talk about it now, we talk about it all the time, how like the origin of our story started. It's just so funny because I thought I was just really stepping outside of my comfort zone to do all of these and like ask her questions and get to know her, but she didn't think anything of it.
She thought you were networking.
I was just networking.
But you know, that is so funny because people talk about, okay, not people, but like I see tweets. I am very much on Twitter. I like to go through Twitter because you just see random people's thoughts. But I do see women say that like, being friendly is just not enough. You have to be like, you have to say exactly what you're doing, because I think naturally women are socialized to be friendly. So you might think you're flirting with a girl, but she's just like, oh, that is a very friendly girl, or like a friendly woman, or friendly folks,
because she had known how I was in my community.
Right.
So she's just like, oh, Jenny's just being friendly with me or whatever, you know. Yeah. But in my like gut and stomach, I'm just like,
you
are
chasing after her.
This is so hard to do, you know, making me nervous all the time. But yeah, I think that's like something. But then also I was exploring my sexuality at the time. So even when she was asking like, you know, what, like, may I ask like what your sexual orientation is? And I was like, I'm still figuring that out.
Right. And that was the truth. You were still figuring it out. Did you have any other questions that you wanted to ask, but you were scared to ask as a baby queer?
I think a lot of it was like, if I haven't been intimate with a woman, how do I know that I'm going to like it?
Or, oh, right.
Because I was attracted you know, to a woman at the time.
Yeah.
But I had never been intimate with them.
Bro, so then, that's a real question.
Yes, I'm attracted. Maybe I'll just be attracted romantically and maybe not sexually.
Right.
Know? So then how do you know?
Yeah, that's a real question.
But then I think about that too and I'm like, isn't that how it is with men too? Like when I, before like...
You're like, is this sex going to be great? Yeah, is kissing him going to be great?
Yeah.
Right.
Or did I always think that I was straight, so I'm like, oh, no matter what, if I don't like the sex, I'm always gonna be with a man, you know? That's just like that way of thinking again, where it's right. Like so close-minded
and yeah,
not open to other ways of having intimate or romantic, because they're different,
right?
Romantic, true. Relationships and sexual relationships or intimacy, mm-hmm, in all forms,
yeah, they're very different. You know, the other question that I ask myself a lot, but I'm scared of asking people.
What?
Like, what is a strap? And how does it work? And how do I do it? How do I go about it? And you know, the whole question with what is a strap also came,
yeah,
with what is sex?
Yeah.
You know, what are sex toys?
Yeah.
It was my experience. My sexual experience is actually, even in my heteronormative relationships, is very limited. I wasn't like always dating people, and I come from a background of where sex was almost demonized unless, mm-hmm, you were married. So I wasn't always looking to have sex or to explore my body or to masturbate and figure out what I like and what I don't like. And so with coming into my identity, there's also a freedom that comes,
yeah,
with it, a freedom to explore. And I'll be like, straps, like, because I, you know, I went down the rabbit hole of TikTok.
Oh, me too.
Now, with TikTok, you know, everyone's talking about, like, having a backpack where you, like...
Oh, yeah, where you carry...
Yeah, where you carry your straps and, yeah, your toys. And that, I was like, is that what I'm supposed to do? Is that what we're supposed to do? Because at that point, I was also trying to figure out which energy to go with. Do I go with my mask energy? So if I'm going with my masculine energy, so does that mean I have to get a strap? Like, do I have to know how to use a strap? I don't know how to use a strap. Will I enjoy it? And then, you know, there's... like all this mystery around that, but I was so scared of asking because I don't want to be laughed at.
Yeah.
But I dated a girl last year, and I'm so thankful for that relationship, even if we broke up, because I asked her all these,
yeah,
questions. You know, I asked her about straps, I asked her about sex toys, and I was very open with her regarding like my experience with men,
yeah,
like my experience of, you know, my sexual experience with men. And I remember one of the things she said is, I think the most important thing for you to do is explore your body first and understand, mm-hmm, your body before you bring in toys.
Yeah.
And once you understand your body and you know what you respond to, then you can bring in toys. And I used to ask her any question about sex, and she was also the first girl I ever kissed as well. And after kissing her, I was like, I ain't going back to anyone else. But yeah, it's sometimes it's great to meet people that have walked the journey before you,
yeah,
and that they can answer those questions that you'd be embarrassed to ask, like in a whole, yeah, group setting. So yeah, that was my question. Straps, sex toys, what, yeah, is all this? Like,
I think
and
I was
TikTok
watching,
has things.
Yeah, yeah, I was watching a lot of YouTube, mm-hmm, content creators who were giving reviews, mm-hmm, on sex toys and what they were using or what they liked. And I was like, oh, I'm learning so much from this too. Because I don't know anything. So I would, but with my current partner, I was asking her everything. And she was so open to like, mm-hmm, answering anything because everything was so new to, mm-hmm, me. And that made me feel more comfortable with, mm-hmm, like asking.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think that's such an important, for me personally.
Right.
I think sex is so important,
oh,
in my relationship.
Of course.
Like, I,
bro,
need that. And I need to enjoy it. So.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, have you heard of the term lesbian death? Is it lesbian deathbed or lesbian sex deathbed or whatever it is. Anyway, the whole concept around that term is that lesbians get to a certain point and they just don't have sex.
Yeah.
And but I'm like, I don't want to be like
but that. Isn't that just like any relationship?
I think it's like any relationship, but I think maybe it happens a lot in lesbian or woman loving woman relationships. I think, I need to be is more inclusive in my language. So forgive me if I'm using just binary words. I promise to be to get better at using more inclusive terms. But the other thing that plagued me, the question that I asked myself for a long time, but which has eventually been answered, is am I gay for real, for real? How do I know I'm not straight? How do I know? And this was such a heavy question, because for me, my coming into my identity did not involve an attraction to anybody.
Yeah.
It was just a realization in the middle of the night. And then for months after, me walking through those realizations and buried trauma, whatever surrounding it. And so even if I was joining all these groups and doing all this therapy, I was still like, am I really, really, really gay? I mean, I don't have a relationship. I haven't been in a relationship. And I think I did not get into a relationship. Must have been exactly a year. Like my whole coming into my identity process. I think then mid last year is when I got into a relationship. And obviously I was like, yeah, I'm gay. Of course. what is all this? And also the fact that like sometimes we would go out and then I would see like this woman and I'll be like, yo, she's pretty. And so then I'll be like, okay, a straight woman wouldn't be thinking that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, but it's really a process, right? Like the whole, the questions. Yeah.
I feel like I was thinking that too in the beginning, because yes, I was attracted to a woman at the time, but I wasn't intimate with someone.
Right.
So then I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also thinking maybe I'm just attracted to this person and maybe not other women.
Right.
That was something that was also on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, maybe, and I won't know until like we're intimate, like sexually.
Mm-hmm.
But after, like after intimacy, I was like, oh no.
That's the best.
I like this. What have I been missing out on? I like them all.
Okay, I'm telling you the truth is after you've been, okay, for me and Jenny's experiences, or let me talk for my experience. Jenny will talk for herself. For me, after my first experience with a woman, I was like, I'm not going back. So it was so mind-blowing. I loved it. I felt safe because she would ask me, do you want me to do this? I enjoyed it so much. I remember not even having energy the next day because I was like, bro, this was so good.
Good night,
then. But yeah, it was, not for you. I don't know about you guys, but for me, my first experience with a woman was life-changing. And I was like, this is what I missed the whole entire time. Because I've not really had very sexual relationships with men, so I have like minute experience in that area, but I did enjoy my experience. It wasn't with my girlfriend, by the way, if some of you are thinking that. I had it after I broke up with her. But anyway, the other question that plagued me too, especially considering my intersectionality to do with my like my sexual orientation, but my race, but also my religion and spirituality, was the question, does God hate me? Am I gonna die?
Yeah.
Am I gonna burn in hell? This was a serious question. It was a question that kept me awake sometimes. And like, sometimes I'll be like, did I make a mistake in telling the world my inner thoughts? Because all that time, my inner thoughts were I would be attracted to women. But that's something I wouldn't share with the world. But when I decided to be open about who I am and what I experience, there were those nights I would ask myself, does God hate me? But walking my journey with I Am Kim Daly, who runs for The Culture, a queer space for Black women, it's been very empowering in helping me reconcile my faith with who I am and with the God that I worship now, because the God that I worship now is not the God that I worshiped before. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was a question that I, that was a tough question, man. That's a pretty tough question. By the way, he loves me. For those of you that are, you know, asking yourself the same question, and if you're asking yourself if God loves you, yes, he does freaking love you the way you are. Do you have any other questions that you were sort of afraid to ask out loud as a baby queer?
I think I had a lot of questions, but they were just all in my head. It was a lot of things, like, with just how to be with, like, another woman. Yeah, just a lot of those things. I mean, like, very specific questions, too, but it was all around, like, how to be with... It wasn't about, like... How do I tell my parents or, you know, because I knew this was like, I was not going back, or this is me. Mm-hmm. This is me coming into my authentic self and identity.
Right.
And this is going to be me moving forward.
Right.
So I was just like, how am I going to be me in a queer relationship?
Right.
So those are all the things I was navigating and asking questions about. Mm-hmm. So it's just hearing from other experiences and hearing from other baby queers. There are a lot of, like, queer content creators who create videos on, like, questions to ask the baby queer, or, you know, just like what the thoughts that I had, they had too. So hearing other people's coming out stories, or hearing other people's first time in bed with a woman, or whatever it may be,
right,
those were the videos that I would watch,
right,
and to follow, to have, like, they had questions that maybe I didn't even think of, but I was like, oh my gosh, I am so curious to know that too,
you
know?
Yeah, a big up to all YouTube content creators, because you held us up, and I think this is the second time I'm talking about this on the podcast. You really did hold us up. But I saw the question for me before the process of, like, deciding to be open about my identity. I also asked myself, should I really come out? That was, like, a question I really had to sit with. And I had to sit with the fact, okay, if I come out, what's my family going to think? What's my family going to say? Mm-hmm. What are my friends going to say? How do I show up in a workplace? How am I going to navigate the world? Am I going to get married? Will I get married to a woman? Like, I thought about all these questions as I was asking myself, do I want to come into my identity? And do I want to tell the whole world who I am? But as you all know, I am very gay and very loud on social media. So
that was a question that I had.
Yeah.
Do I need to come out to my colleagues or my workplace?
I think
those are the things I was asking too.
Oh, yeah.
Whether I needed to come out to people. I knew the folks and, like, the family members or friends I wanted to tell.
Right.
But yeah, I was just thinking, like, do I want to? Do I have to come out to everyone?
Right.
I know it's a constant process. We're always coming out.
Yeah. It's a constant process.
But at the time I was like, do I need to? But then yours is like, do I even want to admit this part of my identity
to everyone?
Yeah.
Considering that I used to be part of the worship team, because I also thought about that, like, what would people say? Oh, she used to be in the church. Because I've been part of the worship team of about 3 churches in the US.
Wow.
So those were a little, that was also a question I kind of, that I kind of asked myself as a baby queer. The other question that I needed answers around, but the answers were not that common, and I think this is going to change with time and it's better today, was, how do I practice safe sex with a woman? There's not a lot, like, all my growing up, I know what it is to practice safe sex in a heteronormative or heterosexual relationship, but I do not know, there's not enough information on how to practice safe sex in same-sex relationships.
Yeah.
And I think I facilitate a safe space for LGBTQIA+ youth at my workplace. And that's also something they brought up, like during the sex education topics. They don't talk so much. They don't teach them about, and these are kids who are like 14. And here I am, 39. And I also do not know much about safe, being safe in same-sex relationships. So that's another question that I am still learning, the different ways that we can be safe. And hopefully one day in the future, we'll probably bring someone on the podcast who can, a professional who probably can give more tips to everyone out there about practicing safe sex in same-sex relationships or other relationships, you know, that, you know, are covered along the spectrum. Because there are many. Did you ever ask yourself if you would be attractive to other women?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Always. That's why I was like, am I only attracted to this one person? Are they gonna like me back? And when I was starting to use Hinge, I felt that. I was like, what if, you know, what if they, because I don't know anything or I'm still new to this, that they're not attracted to me that way? Or I always thought that. But then I feel like that with like all people. I always wonder if I'm attracted or attractive.
That is so interesting.
Anyone.
So for me, in terms of my body type, I never ever worried that I'm there would be a man who would be attracted to me because I've got like a very hefty bust and I've got like sizable butt. So for some men, that is pretty attractive, at least in the world that we live in. So I knew that like there's going to be a man out there that likes this kind of structure. But when it came to now, I'm attracted to women and I would like to explore relationships with them or explore this part of myself, I was like, I don't even know if there's gonna be a woman that likes like bust and butt. And so I was very self-conscious about that, and because I think also I was watching a lot of TikTok. And many, because I have more masculine energy than feminine energy, and so most of these women that were masculine presenting, they kind of like had, they look great. They do look great and look better than many men. And so I would feel like, I'll be like, I don't think anybody's going to like a busty woman that's masculine presenting. Do I still have those questions about being attractive to women? No, I do not. Because I think coming more and more into your identity, you realize that even if there's a physical aspect to it, there's also the inner beauty aspect to it. And I'm not minimizing the physical aspect. I love boobs. I love butt. Very important. But, you know, beyond just the physical aspect, it's just the kind of person that they are that attracts you to them or wants you to, like, pursue a relationship with them. And so, like, understanding that and dating a lot kind of helped me overcome maybe that question, which was probably masking a certain fear that I had.
I definitely feel more confident in my soul, you know, rather than like physical. But being learning more about yourself and having that confidence and how you carry yourself,
right,
I think goes a long way.
It goes a long way. I agree
and
with you.
Yeah, how you carry yourself, your essence, is something that I'm so attracted to. And I have that confidence now in myself to be able to carry myself in a way where I'm like, no, I know people are attracted to like our energies, us as people, because of who we are as people.
100%. So, Jenny, what's your queerly noted for today?
My queerly noted is, it's okay to have all these questions because we all do. You know, if whether you are not letting the world into your identity yet, or you have been out, or you're just curious as a person, having these questions is totally normal and okay. And it's okay to ask. Like, for my friends out there, I was talking to my coworker about this, or my coworker was telling me about it, but I feel like sometimes when you do come out to someone, people don't know how to react or navigate that conversation. So then it becomes very quiet or nothing really goes further. But I like when my friends ask me about things or are curious about my journey or how it is like in our relationship, you know, in a queer relationship. I mean, yes, obviously there are questions that you should not be asking, like, us about the relationship.
Yeah.
But I'm open to answering any questions if you're curious about, like, the journey or what it's like. I think normalizing that and being able to ask, like, allies, if you have questions and if you have queer friends who you feel safe enough with and you have mutual respect for each other, then don't be afraid to ask those questions.
Yeah.
You know, I think that creates a more, like, understanding dialogue and normalizing those types of questions or conversations.
Yeah.
And, like, being able to really understand the community more.
Yeah.
So
that's really deep. That's so deep. I hope you all caught that, because that's a pretty deep thing. I like you encouraging everyone and telling them that it's okay to have these questions. It's just part of the process. And my queerly noted is a little, it's almost similar to yours, but mine is more like coming into your identity is a process that you cannot just do in one day.
Yeah.
Be patient with yourself. Be patient with the process. Some days are up, some days are down, but all these experiences together eventually make us who we are, and who we are in the most authentic way, which is what we're looking for at the end of the day. Yeah. Whoa. I know this was lighthearted, but it was amazing, and we hope to see you again. No. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. Until then.
Until next time.
Love you.
Community.
Yeah. If you want to support Queerly, follow, rate, and leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice.
We would love to hear from you, so please reach out to us at hi.queerly@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at Queerly Community. That's QUEERLYQMUNITY. Love y'all!